The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Numbers chapter 11. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound, like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked, saying, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text for our sermon today is John chapter 7, 37 to 39. It is the day of Pentecost, and the title is Pentecostal Springs. Today is the Feast of Pentecost. It is not just a Christian festival, since it originated in God's law given to Moses as one of the three great pilgrimage festivals for the people of Israel. It is still observed today by observant Jews under the name of Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, and Yom HaBikurim. Our gospel lesson for today takes place during the Feast of Tabernacles, which was one of the other great Jewish pilgrimage festivals. It also is still observed today by observant Jews under the name of Sukkot, Feast of Booths, or Feast of Tabernacles. In our gospel, Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." John explains the meaning of this statement when he says in verse 39, "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive." Thus it is clear from John's explanation that the Holy Spirit is being spoken of here, not literal physical water. Why did Jesus use the analogy or metaphor of water, when he could have just referred directly to the Holy Spirit? Is there a connection between water and the Spirit that Jesus intended with these words? To answer these questions, we need to start by looking at the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles and how that context helps us understand John 7, 37 to 39. Although Christians and Jews have different Sabbaths, festivals, feasts, and holidays, it is important to know that we both have these types of yearly holiday cycles. When the Jews gathered for the Feast of Tabernacles, it was a really big deal, just like our Christian holidays of Easter or Christmas. Everybody was involved, not just those who went to synagogue on Saturday. When Jesus stood up in the temple on the last day of this feast, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, it was an auspicious occasion. Jesus giving this teaching was not just another speech, lecture, or sermon. It was the timing that made it so important. The laws that govern the Feast of Tabernacles can be found in Exodus 23:16, Leviticus 23:34-43, Deuteronomy 16:13-15, Deuteronomy 31:10-13, and Nehemiah chapter 8. One of the chief features of this feast was that the pilgrims who gathered in Jerusalem were to live in booths for 8 days. The booths were temporary shacks whose purpose was to remind the Jews of the 40 years in which they lived in tents in the wilderness. It wasn't just human togetherness that was being remembered, but mainly that God lived in a tent with the people for those 40 years. That tent was called the Tabernacle, and that gave its name to this festival. I believe then that the chief reason God gave this festival to his people was to remind them every year of his ongoing and providential presence with them. The Feast of Tabernacles also coincided with the harvest of various crops, so it had something of the sense of our Thanksgiving holiday in it. Every day for 8 days, there would be religious services consisting of the chanting of the Psalms, reading of appointed lessons from the Old Testament, and many animal sacrifices. Over the 8-day period, the total number of animals sacrificed included 71 bulls, 15 rams, 105 lambs, and 8 goats. Another custom was added to this in the post-exilic period, that is, the time after the Babylonian exile, and this custom was in effect in Jesus' day. For the first 7 days of the festival, there was a joyous procession of water, wine, and willow branches. A priest from the temple would walk down to the pool of Siloam every day, surrounded by a large procession. He would draw about 3 cups of water in a golden pitcher, and then return to the great altar that was in front of the temple. And there, as he appeared with the water, other priests with the wine, and a priest with the willow branches also appeared. After setting up the willow branches on the great altar, the priest would then pour the wine in one little basin on one side, and the water in another basin on the other. Water and wine would drain out of the basins, and then the first sacrifice of the day would be lit on fire. And this would happen all 7 days. But on the last day of the festival, there was no joyous procession of water, wine, and willow branches. Instead, the last set of sacrifices would be ignited as the people prepared to go home to wherever they came from. And it was right at that moment, when the water was not going to be poured out because it was the last day, that Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." St. John, who records this story of Jesus for us, speaks about water in connection with Jesus in several places in his gospel. Here are just a few examples in the first part of that gospel. In John 1:33, St. John quotes John the Baptist, who said, "He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" In John 2:1-11, St. John reports that Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana. In John 3:1-8, St. John reports that Jesus impressed upon Nicodemus the necessity of baptism with these words, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That's verse 5. In John 4, verses 1-42, St. John reports about Jesus' discussion with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. There Jesus told her, "Everyone who drinks of this well water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. It will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." That's verses 13-14. Here in John chapter 4, 13-14, we find the closest teaching to what Jesus said at the Feast of Tabernacles. In both cases, Jesus is the one who gives the water. In both cases, the water that he gives becomes a spring of water that gives eternal life. The first point that Jesus is making with this water analogy is that he is the source, not anyone or anything else. You must go to Jesus to get this living water. No one else can help you. No saint, no priest, no guru, no philosopher. The second point is that those who get this living water from Jesus become secondary sources to others. They help distribute that living water, so long as they are properly connected to him. The third point is that the ultimate result of drinking Jesus' water is that you get eternal life. What is that water? As we said, it's metaphorical. So this water, this metaphor of water that Jesus baptizes with, is the Holy Spirit, as John the Baptist proclaimed. John the Baptist said, "I baptize with water." Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Hear now what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit to his disciples again in the Gospel of John. Quote, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." John 14:15-18. Here's another passage in the same chapter. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." John 14:25-26. And then at the end of that discourse, again, John chapter 16, Jesus says, quote, "I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." That's John 16:7-13. So, what does the Holy Spirit do? In John 14:15-18, he serves as the presence of Jesus in the church, where two or three are gathered together in my name, Matthew 18:20. In John 14:25-26, he is a teacher of doctrine, and while writing their gospels and epistles and in their preaching, he reminded the apostles of the things they heard Jesus say and do. And in John 16:7-13, he is a persuader who convinces the hearts of people of their sin, of their need for Jesus' righteousness, and of the future judgment of all flesh. How does the Holy Spirit do his work? Through the preaching and teaching of the apostles' doctrine, and through the administration of holy baptism, the Lord's Supper, and absolution. On this day of Pentecost, and in this season of Pentecost, let us always intently hear the word and receive the sacraments, so that the Holy Spirit may do the work that Jesus sent him to do. In Jesus' name, Amen.